Good morning. No, it is not a typo in the bulletin. It's a pastor's dream come true. He gets to preach twice in a Sunday. So 2 45-minute sermons. There will be a commercial in between where you may use the bathrooms. And we have a very special Sunday today with baptism and with new members. And what an incredible privilege for us as a church, and for, I know, for me, it just gives me such encouragement and excitement. And so, as we talk about baptism, then we realize that baptism is a symbolism, right? And so this morning, as Lawrence is following the Lord in obedience to Him and in being baptized, we will be pouring, and there is an incredible power in the symbolism of the pouring of the water over a believer's head. It symbolizes so neatly the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the life of a Christian, and we see that in the Old Testament. We see the Old Testament prophets were already looking forward to this and anticipating this. In Isaiah 44, verse 3, it says, "For I will pour out on the thirsty land, and for I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." A little bit later, Joel said, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." So the Old Testament prophets were already really looking forward to and anticipating the time when the Holy Spirit would be poured out on us, I guess, on the believers. And so this, we see the first fulfillment of this in Acts chapter in Acts, I guess, really at the start, but we see it. I just want to read a couple of verses out of Acts chapter 1. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." You see here that the Holy Spirit, that fulfillment was given to the people in Acts that day on Pentecost when they came. Do you know that the day that you prayed, know what happened here. The day that you prayed to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, at that moment, the Holy Spirit was poured out on you. It was at that moment that you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's where baptism is a symbolism, because the Holy Spirit was poured out on you the moment you were baptized. And what happens to us as believers when the Holy Spirit becomes a part of our lives is incredible. And there's no way that we can share a lot of those things just in one morning like this. But let's just share just a few. And we will see the first thing is that we are marked, okay? We are marked. We receive a mark. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14, it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." We hear the word of truth, right? Someone shares with us salvation. So you have to think back. When did you accept Christ as your Savior? Can you remember, at least maybe not exactly the day, but can you remember when you first began to realize that truth in your life? That's, it says, having heard the word of truth, having believed. When you believe that there is only salvation through Jesus Christ, then something happened. It says, then you were marked with a seal. Now, to us, this marked with a seal, you wonder, okay, what's that about? Well, when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, then letters were or documents had a seal on them, a wax seal, and hot wax was poured on there, and then an important official would either wear a ring that had a seal, or there was a seal that they would imprint this seal with that they had, and that meant that was a stamp of ownership. And it's interesting that it says that here too, right? The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, he says, for those who are God's possession. When God placed his seal on your life by giving you the Holy Spirit, that was a mark that God owns you. God has you. You are his. He will care for you. You're a part of his plan, a part of his church. And the Holy Spirit is also a deposit. Now, that's something we're a bit more familiar with, right? A down payment. When you leave a down payment or you make a deposit, it says that you will complete that transaction. You don't have all of it. And if it's a house deal, you don't have possession date yet. And you know, that's maybe the best illustration we could have here, is that the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing that possession day is coming. One day we will receive the house. We will receive everything that God has given to us. We also see that we have access to the Father through him. The Holy Spirit, and I'm taking all of these verses out of Ephesians. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, where he says, for through him we both, and he has just been talking about Jew and Gentile, in other words, the whole world, we have access to God, to the Father, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit living within us makes it possible for us to be in communion, to have access to the Heavenly Father. A while back, I spoke on Romans and how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. You know, that's what we're talking about here. The Holy Spirit, he gives us access to the Father. So we are marked in him. We have a seal that says that we are God's people. We have access to God through this. As we approach the throne of God, the evidence that we are his children, that we have a right to come before his throne, is there through the Holy Spirit. And so there's no way that anyone will keep us out of that. We also receive power. Go ahead to chapter 3 of Ephesians. We receive power. Power for what? Well, God wants us to, when we are a part of God's family, then God has a desire for us. And you know what that is? That we live out, that we enjoy all the benefits of being his children. And so to do that, we need somebody to help us. In our own strength, we can't do it. We cannot depend on ourselves. He says, Paul again, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, this is God, that God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. If you change the inside of us, then you begin to change our heart. You begin to change our motivation, the reason we do things. And when you do that, then transformation begins to happen. It happens from the inside out. It says that through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God has expectations of his children. Well, what is so neat is that with those expectations, he gives us everything we need. And you will notice this little phrase in there. It says, together with all the saints. Together with all the saints. We are, God's intent is never that we be individuals in our living out our faith. We're individuals in coming to the cross of Jesus Christ. Nobody can make that salvation decision for me. I have to make that decision myself. But then I become a part of a body of saints, a group of saints. And together we can discover what? We can discover the love of Christ, how wide it is, how deep it is, how long it is, how high it is. And then it says that we can know this love. We can know the love of Christ. The best way that we can grow in understanding the love of Christ is to do it together as a body of believers. Together with all the saints, we get to know this love. And then we are filled. We are filled. We are filled to the fullest measure of what God wants. God in us. Amazing, isn't it? And all of this out of this symbolism that we will be seeing today of baptism. Your baptism did not save you. It did not do anything magical for you, because baptism is a step of obedience to Christ. It is something that he desired. It is a step that does help you to grow in your faith. It helps you to become stronger. That it is. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the power to live that out. So we have here a powerful symbol of what God has done. Okay, it's the past. You come and this will be, and you will hear the words upon this confession of your faith. It is something that has happened, and it's something that we are anticipating. It has both of those. The past is the marked, it's being marked. It's being having access to the Father and being able to live out our Christian life with the power of God. That's something that continues to happen now.